All right, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. Woo, 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 woo. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I haven't seen you guys since last year. This is going to be the best year yet. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, so this month's theme is loving God and loving people. And I thought we should talk about what it means to love like Jesus in this podcast and really delve into what love means and how to walk in love and the significance of walking in love. Joined with me today is Pastor Chris, our very own pastor. Say hello.
Hello, good afternoon here in Sydney.
Yeah.
Whatever time you're gonna watch or listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So straight into the first question. So we're talking about loving like Jesus. So the world knows and uses the word love. Is there a difference between the way Jesus says to love people and love God and the way the world says to love?
There is a very big difference. Yeah, if we can define or identify the love that the world understand and the love that the Bible and God expresses or teaches us, there's a big difference. So there's four type of love. And I believe we covered this last G. That's given in the Bible. The Greek words for this, the first one is eros. Second one is stergo. The third one is phileo. The fourth one is agape. So to understand the love of God, I think from the world understanding of love, we need to explain those four. Right? So just a quick explanation. Eros is from the word erotic. And that is a love that asks for someone. It demands for someone to give back, and it's a type of love that is self-seeking, self-approving, self-satisfying. It's all about themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's eros. Stergo is a type of love that expressed through family relationships. That's stergo. The third one is phileo. Phileo is a love that is described between a girlfriend and a boyfriend. It's like there's an affection between a boy and a girl. And it can be also a relationship between friends. Mm. So that's phileo. But it's not as deep as agape. Agape love is the God kind of love. This is a high level kind of love because agape love does not seek to please themselves.
Right.
Agape love is more of giving themselves to the other person. And this is the type of love that God wants us to walk into. This is the type of love that God described in John 3:16, for God so loved, for God agape. Mm. Right? So that's the word agape there. That means if you look at the whole verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So this is not a type of love like the world understand what love is, because what the world understand with love is more of, I will love you if you love me back. Mm. Or it's something that if I can take something from you, then that's when I'm gonna love you. But with the love of God, God gives before. Like the Bible says that he loves us even before we were yet sinners. He first loved us, right? He's the first one who loved us. So it means he didn't seek for us to love him first so he can give his love. But he loved us first. So that's the type of God, that is the God kind of love that he wants us to walk into. So there's a big difference.
With the stergo, the one like a familiar type of love, a family type of love.
Yeah, it's more of a relationship between a boy and a girl. You have yet affection. You admire this person, but it's not as a level of love that God has. Because with stergo, in the practical, natural relationships you have with friends, sometimes you go into an argument as well, or sometimes you can have friends that you had before, but then somehow you had a fight. And your relationship is no longer the same now.
Mm.
So it's not as deep as the love that God has or the agape love.
When you say it's not as deep as, can you elaborate more?
Okay, so with the love of God, God's love does not demand back from us. If someone will ask me how would you describe the love of God, I'll just bring them to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? And I'll read it, because you will realize the difference between estergo and even phileo with the agape, because you see, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. And let's be honest, in relationships between friendship, you know, or between a loved one, siblings, mom to their children, we become irritable. And sometimes we do keep record of wrongs. Like if that person does the same thing, what's the first thing that comes out of our mouth? You've done it again. How many times you have to do it, you know? So that means the love that we have is not the same level as the love of God. And that's why we need to understand, learn based on the Bible. If we describe the love of God, this is it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Like one of the differences I've found is God loved us first before we loved him. And I know in my life I have been in really bad attitudes, like really dark and just pathetic circumstances. And God saw that. And yet he still sent.
Still loves you.
And I think one of the biggest differences is with the world, it's very easy to love someone who's lovable.
Yeah.
But then to someone who is almost like a villain in someone's eyes. Like you could see, for example, with Trump, everyone hates him. Most Christians, a lot of Christians hate him.
Yeah.
Right? And I can understand, because he's not easily lovable by the world's standard. But then God doesn't see any of that. He died. He sent his son to die for him. And I feel like that's one of the differences that's almost like it makes God's love incomprehensible.
That's true. Because with God, everyone is valuable.
Yeah.
With God, no one is worth nothing. And that's the reason why he died for all. Not for some. Not for lovable people. Not for acceptable people. He died for all. So he accepted or received us all as we are. And that's the agape love. And like you said, with the world standard, it's like I can only love you if you are lovable, or I will love you if you just do what I ask you to do, or if I like you, then I will love you. So that's very, it's not very deep. It's like superficial. What's that word we use a lot of time? It's like hypocritical love. Like, I only accept you if you accept me, or I will. But with God, everyone is valuable, regardless of what background you came from, what you've done in the past, or how bad you are. Even you're a murderer, you're the worst sinner, God still looks at you as a valuable person. And that's the reason why he came.
And another thing I've found in my generation, I don't know about yours, but like I've heard a lot of people say, you got to ignore or leave toxic people behind. And it's almost like you abandon them because they are bad for you. And so you no longer interact with them. But then I think about that, and like the same people that preach that, like leave toxic people behind, they would preach, you got to love, love over fear. But then when they say leave toxic people behind, I don't see the love in that. So is that the same in your generation? Do you think there's that culture?
I think it's not about generation. It depends on how you understand that concept of leaving a toxic people. Leaving someone that does not really help with your relation with your walk with God, of course, that's part of being a disciple. Like, if you know that these people are affecting you in terms of your relationship with God, and of course, if your relationship with God is being affected, then your relationship with people is going to be affected as well, then you have to make a decision there. But at the same time, making sure that you don't hate them because they are toxic, but you're still praying for them, but that that type of closeness or keeping them in your circle of people that influences you, then that's when you have to make those decisions.
Boundaries.
Yeah, the boundaries, yeah. So it's not just leaving a toxic person because you hate them, but because they are affecting you, because you have to remember you have a destiny, and we are all going to be accountable to God and how we live our life here. And yeah, you want to make sure that you are going to reach to fulfill your destiny. But I also found, and I do, like, in some degree I agree with that, that I also found that some people, just because they're so focused on their destiny, that they forget that there are people around them that they need to look after, that they, you know, show their love. But toxic people will always, like, Kenneth Hagin said that there's a lot of people that attack him, but he said, it's not my role to be worried about how many people does not like me or how many people does how many people attack me. My role is, or my responsibility is, to love people. So whether they're toxic or not, you know, you leave them in the sense of you don't wanna go this way, which I decided to go this way, God's way, but you don't wanna go with me this way, then I will go my God's way, because I want to fulfill my destiny. But that doesn't mean I won't pray for you, I won't love you, but sorry, I cannot be around you, or I cannot allow you affect my life. So there's a difference there. But it's not about generation, I believe, because even like when in our generation, there's always going to be toxic people. There's always going to be people who are always bitter. You know, hurt, because they're too hurt, that they are bitter, that they also want to pull people down, and that's not helpful, that's not healthy for you as a Christian who wanted to walk in the will of God, because you need to make those decisions that I love you, brother, sister, or I love you, you know, I love my family, but if they're toxic or they are hindering the call of God in my life, then I have to make a decision. But that doesn't mean I hate them. That's different. I love them, but I will pray, and I will pray for them. If they need my help, then yeah, if God opens the door for them to reach out to me, I will help them. But to continue walk, keeping them in the sphere of my influence, I won't let.
Okay, so in the area of family, just to make it more practical and specific, say if your family is constantly inviting you out, but they are the toxic people by definition. In this scenario, what would you do?
All right. Experientially, yes, that did happen. Right. So, but I made all, like I said, I it's my choice. It's my decision too. Like, we're all adults. Like, you cannot let other people control you as well. So whether you're Christian or not, you cannot let other control how you're gonna live your life. If I don't wanna go to the party and you think that I'm excluding myself to everyone, that's your opinion. But as far as I'm concerned, that's not my reason. I have my own personal reason. Maybe I have something in the ministry, right? So, and I also learn how to value my time. Those are different reason. And at the same time also is to listen to the Holy Spirit. Would the Holy Spirit want me to be there? And I make sure that if I'm around my family, I make sure that I am not affected by the toxic conversation, you know, gossiping and stuff. I'm not affected by that. In fact, that's when we as Christian should be the light, bringing that light into that darkness, because obviously those people are in darkness. Obviously those people they don't know what they're doing. I mean, you know, so you are there as a Christian to shine your light and to guide them that, hey, we should not be talking about this. If they listen to you or not, that's still up to them. Right? So it's not before, because I tried to please people, I just, whenever there's an invitation, I come. But as I walk, as I grow up in my spiritual life with God, and of course with other responsibilities I have, I become more mindful and wiser on where I spend my time and who I spend my time with, because it's time is precious, right? It's not because I don't love them. I love them. Again, if they need help, emergency stuff, I'm there. Mm. You know, if they ask for prayer, I pray. If someone is sick, I go and visit them. But in other cases, I don't have that much time to always be on a party on Saturday, Sunday, you know. But if I'm there, then I'll make sure that I shine my light. That's my opportunity. I'll see that's my opportunity. If I don't see them all the time, that's my opportunity to share with them, to tell them what's happening or with my life or what God is doing. So it opens up the door also for me to minister to them.
Mm. So then I think from what I'm getting, it matters the heart of why you are going there.
Mm.
Yep. So with Jesus, when I read about Jesus, he would constantly withdraw. So I feel like it looks like an act of, it looks like you're not loving when you say no to people. But then Jesus said, Jesus would constantly withdraw to the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how the world see. If you love me, you have to turn up. Mm. If you love me, you have to always be there. Yeah. That's how they see it. But they don't understand that. Hey, I'm. If God is calling me to pray for your need, then you'd be better for me not to be there praying for your need. You know what I mean? Like, because you will need something that is beyond what these people can give you or in the natural. Mm-hmm. You'll need some spiritual help. So I'd rather be in prayer meeting praying for you, and you might be there somewhere enjoying picnic or parties. And I'm not against that. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, Jesus went to a wedding. So Jesus never against parties,
yeah.
Right? He went to a wedding. But what was his main focus? Do the will of God. Mm. Do the will of the Father. Mm. Even if he said to his mother, Mary, it's not my time yet. But did he do it? Mm. He did. Right? So even if he said no to Mary, I believe Holy Spirit, the Father spoke to him and said, do it. That's why I send you there. Mm. So Jesus is like, you know, the picture of other people about Christian is that we're antisocial. Mm. Like I don't want to, because I heard people like that in the past where this lady I was sharing, and she said, because she was a friend of a minister's wife, and all she heard from this wife was, I'm busy. I don't have time. I'm busy. So she took it as, I don't want to be like you. I'm always at church, which was a negative testimony.
Yeah.
And when I started sharing with her, she said, I don't want to. And that's when I found out. And I said, no, you're wrong. You had a wrong concept of church and serving God. And yeah, for other people, it's a burden to serve God because you miss this party. You miss the birthday parties. You miss going out. You miss picnic and stuff. But it's not. It's really fun, and to see how Jesus, he's not antisocial. He's not anti that. You know, he's in there. But you have to know that wherever you go, whether it's in a party, you're in celebration of someone's birthday, weddings, and what, or you're at church, you have a purpose. God wants you to minister to people, and that's very important.
Yeah. So moving on to our next question, and I think this question leads into the next one. How do you love like Jesus? So is it even possible for a human being to love like that God kind of love that we described as almost incomprehensible?
How do I love like Jesus? We go to the word again, right? It's. I believe it's God will not ask us to do something that's not possible.
Mm.
So if he said, love your brothers, you know, then it's possible for us to love our brothers.
Mm.
And it's not loving brothers and sisters or even the people in the world with our natural strength. It's going to be, it's going to take Holy Spirit for us to be able to love. And the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 5. So it's possible. Anything that God asks us to do, it's possible.
Yeah.
But I will say also that it doesn't mean that you can be, you know, there will be times that your love will be tested.
Yeah.
Your love, there's going to be a trying of your love as well. Mm. And that's the reason why we always need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
All the time. Because we cannot love people without the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Because the agape love of God is something that is, I believe it's supernatural. It's by the Spirit. It's not something in the natural.
Yeah.
And when we try to love people and by in our own strength, that's when we get frustrated because we're trying to do it in our own way.
Yeah.
And we can't. Like, people are people, you know, and if we look at how come I've been giving everything to this person and they never respond to this love that I'm giving them, that's when you get frustrated because you start now seeing that this love comes from you.
Yeah.
It's not from the Holy
You're
Spirit.
You're looking for a return.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So when you say you love by going to the Word, what does that mean?
Okay, the more Word you have, of course, the Word changes you. All right, so before, like the Bible also don't measure yourself up to based on how people see you or based on how you see yourself. Measure your life based on the Word. Mm. So if I'm gonna measure how much I love people based on how I know or how I love, then I would say like that. I would demand people to love me back based on how I love you. Mm. But if I measure and if I keep on looking at the Word, I should forgive people. Mm. That's in the Word. The world will not teach you that. If someone hurts you, hurt them back.
Mm.
But the world, the kingdom of God is different. The kingdom of God, that's why it's called upside down kingdom, because the kingdom of God says, bless those who curse you. Right, so it's different. The world curse those who curse you, but the Bible, the Word of God says, bless those who curse you, love those who hate you. That's not how the world functions. So we need to go to the Word of God, find out what is the will of God with regards to loving people, and when we and then find out also how did Jesus demonstrate that love when he was here on earth? Aside from how did the Father demonstrate his love to humanity, sending his own son? But how did Jesus practically, how did he express or demonstrate that love when he was here on earth?
Yeah.
Right? So we need to go back. How did he do that? If Jesus was able to do that, because when he was sent here, he was in human form.
Mm.
Right? So if he's able to do that, then we are also able to do that.
Yeah. So I'll bring out one example of how Jesus expressed his love.
Mm.
John 13, and this is where Jesus washes his disciples' feet.
Mm.
And he says, and it says here, John 13:13, you've called me your teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's who I am. So this is in the Passion Translation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm your teacher and Lord and have just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example. So that's confirming what Pastor Chris said. You follow Jesus' example that I've set for you, and wash one another's dirty feet. Now do for each other what I have just done for you. I speak to you a timeless truth. A servant is not superior to his master, and an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now put into practice what I have done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with untold blessings. Amen. And when I see that example, I've heard some people be grossed out, like, I don't want to wash my friend's feet. That's a bit gross. Yeah. But I think what I take from that, I see the heart of it. You don't want to copy Jesus by his actions necessarily,
mm-mm,
but by his heart. You want to adopt
heart.
His motive.
That's right.
And his motive here is to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says the greatest of all is the servant of all.
Servant of all.
Amen. So, and as you said, he died for us.
Yeah.
And Jesus says there's no love that it's greater than a friend who would die for
died
a friend.
For. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend.
Yeah.
And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. I believe one of the word that we can describe love also is the word humility. And with that example that Jesus did with the disciples washing their, that's humility.
Yeah.
That's like, how can this, you know, I know that time they don't even know yet that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the King of Kings, you know, the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Jesus demonstrated the best demonstration of humility. That he acted like the servant heart.
Yeah, and he's God. He's
yeah,
the
and
most
he's
high.
God, but he put down himself in that position where, why would I wash your feet? You know, it's an action, but at the same time, like you said, it's speaking the heart. It's demonstrating the heart of servanthood,
yeah.
The heart of humility. And today you find there's this lack of humble humility, you know, spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you hurt me, then I hurt you too. That's like, you know, a tooth for a tooth. You know, so it's like, you throw a stone against me, I'll throw a stone against you. But Jesus said, if they throw a stone to you, give them back a bread. So it's and that's why we need to. I like this verse because he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He didn't see himself as equal with God, but he, in the form of a human, he humbled himself even to the point of going to the cross.
Yeah,
and so that's really a demonstration of. I can't really comprehend the love of God when you think about how Jesus was, despite of helping and healing and casting all those demons, you know. At the end, those same people mocked him. Those same people brought him to the cross.
Yeah.
If I'm done, you know, naturally, you know, forget it. Why would I stay here? And that, like, you know, if you're in the ministry, sometimes it can happen to you where people stab you in the back or talk against you. So it can happen. Yeah. But Jesus, the Bible also says he endured all those things because of the joy that was set before him.
Yeah.
So that spirit of humility is really needed.
Yeah. And just on humility, so Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And yeah, so it's just further emphasizing that need for humility. And this is like maybe one of the only moments in the Bible where God himself in Jesus describes himself. And he says, I'm lowly. Gentle and lowly in heart. And I think that's amazing because he's God.
Yeah.
He's the creator of the universe. He's Lord of hosts, King of kings. And he says, I'm lowly in heart. That's our God. And he says to be like me.
Amen.
And something that I've heard Dan Moller say in regards to ministry, and I know a lot of people that listen to this are in ministry. If it doesn't come out of Jesus's mouth, why should it be in yours? So as a Christian, we're supposed to be Christ-like.
That's right.
And like that example of Jesus coming for all these people, and he did many miracles and signs and wonders, and the same people betrayed him and put him on that cross and killed him. And he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But imagine if Jesus was like us. You know, and as he was holding the cross,
send
he would
the
just throw the cross down and be like, oh, you know what? Why am I even doing this? Yeah. Imagine if Jesus just folded his arms. He's like, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Forget it. Yeah.
Or what if Jesus just did the silent treatment to everybody?
That's right.
You know, he's like, he's just bitter.
Yeah.
And then his disciples were like, are you okay, Jesus? Are you all right? Do you need prayer?
You could imagine what relationship is there between him and the disciples when every time Jesus gets frustrated with his disciples, he will just remain silent, you know, that silent treatment. Mm. But over and over again, he's being very patient, loving, gracious, and merciful, because he does understand that men in their weakness is like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, and that's the reason why, again, we need the Holy Spirit to help us with all those weaknesses that we have as a human being.
Yeah.
But it's not an excuse, you know, because it can be an excuse. We can use it as an excuse that I'm just a human being. Yes, you are a human being, but you're now different as a born-again believer. Mm. You have the Spirit of God that empowers you and help you from all your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And you can do that if you decide that you want to do that. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the next question is, how can you love God? So the two greatest commandments Jesus said was, first, love God with all your strength, your mind, your everything, and then love people. And so how do you love God?
How do I love God? First, I love God by obeying his commands. Because he said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Mm. And in his commandments, you find that you love people. So you cannot say you love God. It's in First John, I believe, that how can you say you love God, but you cannot love people that you do not see, that you see, but you can love God that you do not see, but you cannot love people that you cannot see.
Yeah.
So it's we cannot just say love God with our mouth. It has to follow with action of loving people. That's how we express the love. Of our love for God is to love people.
Yeah.
Because if there's anyone that he loves the most are the people.
Yeah. So that's how you would express love to God. But how do you cultivate or develop a love for God? So when you were initially saved, did you love God immediately?
I would say I was thankful. And from there it grows, right? The love of God grows as I start to realize how much he's done for me, how much he's like. Of course, when I got saved, my first experience was he loved me as a child, because you all know what my experience or my testimony. I received the Lord because I was in search of the love of the Father. And that's how he reached out to me as a father. And when I realized that he loves me as a child, as his daughter, then later on that love for God grew. But it will not grow outside serving him through people. You cannot separate it. You cannot say I love God and I don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
Because that's where you see the love of God demonstrated, when you start serving people, and regardless of how they respond to that.
So where do you think the body of Christ is at in regards to loving God and loving people?
This is my opinion. I think we haven't really reached that level of, though there are people that have sacrificed themselves, you know, people that we now learn from, like from their books, from their stories, people that are now gone, they're in heaven, people that has left, like, for example, Hudson Taylor, he went to China. He's not Chinese. Like, how uncomfortable is that? Reinhard Bonnke, right? He's German. He's got a good life in Germany, but God called him to go to Africa. Africa, like, who would go there, right? Even the African people ask him, or not ask him, but didn't even believe him. He'd say, why you come here? You're white. You know, like, you cannot reach us out. You're not welcome here. But he went there because he loved. He loved God and he loved people. So the love of God, the love for people comes from the love that you have for God. So I believe the church now has really not, I haven't heard new people like that really sacrifice themselves like these people. Maybe there are, but they're not, because they're not in social media. They're not, you know, they're in remote places. They're not being reached, or they're not, they don't have Facebook to announce or to put out all their, what they're doing. But I know there are people that are, that left the convenience of their own life, the family. You heard Heidi Baker, her life story, right? She's rich. She came from a rich family, but she got saved and God called her to start a ministry in Africa as well. Then another lady, I heard a story. She is from here, Australian. Her name is Irene. Reason why I knew is I heard her story from Kenneth Copeland. She went also to Africa, started an orphanage. How can you live your life here? So I believe us in the Western countries, especially the church in Western countries, we become comfortable and to talk about or to say the love of God, we haven't really maybe reached or really demonstrated that way.
Why do you think that is? Is it because of just a lack of time with God or something, or they're not reading the Bible? Or
maybe there's a lot of reason. It's not just the time of God with God or a Bible, but maybe there's just a conviction of when you give your life to Jesus, it's no longer yours. I mean, and there's not going to be another option. You know, if God called you, and I'm not saying everyone goes to Africa or everyone goes to India, but I'm saying if we really love the world like how Jesus loved the people then, I believe this will be a change community now, you know. But you hardly really see people in demonstration. They might say, yeah, I love God, I love people, but where's the demonstration, right? So, there's no demonstration. So love is action. It's not just talking about it. It has to be put out there as an action. Reach out to those that are in need. Feed those that are hungry. Visit those that are in the hospital. That's what Jesus said. And that's what he did. He went to the poor. He went to the sick. He didn't just stay inside the church. So to talk about, do you think the church has already, you know, what's that question again?
Are your thoughts on where the church is at in regards to loving God and loving people?
We still have a lot of things to learn and to do. That's that, yeah.
So something that God revealed to me maybe a month ago, because I was in a very desperate sort of attitude, because I felt just very dark, very heavy. And I was asking God, because I'm like, you promised freedom for me. And I feel like I've been oppressed for how long? And what he said to me was, you don't love me, you need me. And those are two very distinct things. He made me realize every time I ask him, every time I come to him in prayer, every time I spend time with him just alone, and or any time I'm at the front worshiping, or any time I'm doing anything for him, I'm trying to receive something from him. And if I don't receive anything from him, I'm frustrated. My attitude's different. And I realize I need him. I don't love him. I'm thankful for him. I admire who he is. And I understand that he is God. And I know that what he has, I need. But it's so different to loving God just for who he is. And the difference, for example, another difference was just reading the word. I read the word to share to someone. So I would read the word to prepare.
Not because you love the word.
Not because I love the word, not because I want to know about God, not because of anything like that. I'm reading the word to, you know, so that I have something to share. I'm prepared. I'm prepared for my Bible study. I'm prepared for this. I'm prepared to share. Or so that I know, so that the word's in my heart. You know, another thing would be like, I would read the word to solve my problem. And instead of reading the word to know him.
Mm-mm.
Now that change has been made in me, where I'm not looking. Of course, you have to be able to receive from God when He's giving, but I'm not. My motive is no longer I'm taking from
taking.
God.
Taking.
Mm-hmm. And I'm no longer looking in His Word for anything, for any self-seeking motive. And that's what love isn't, right?
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Love is not self-seeking.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh, I was completely wrong about everything again. So like God just keeps showing me areas where I'm wrong. And then in that area, I was so wrong because I was seeking Him for myself. And I've realized that I've turned the gospel into something that saves me, that makes my life better. And, you know, I would even talk about purpose. You know, God gives me purpose and he gives meaning to my life, you know. And instead of the gospel being about we were separated from God, and the good news is He loved us so much that He sent His Son, that He would be the propitiation for our sins, that He would take our penalty so that He could be connected with us once again. Mm. And that is a message of how much God loves us. And then the Bible even says, we love Him, we love because He first loved us. And the revelation I got was to live for Him. Like, so it's so simple, but before that, I would be waking up to almost like see what God has in store, you know. And if it isn't pleasurable or if it isn't nice, then it's like I don't want it. But if the motive now is to live for Him, is to manifest His glory, then it doesn't matter what trial comes your way. Mm. It doesn't matter how you feel, because like say if you get an infirmity, the tendency is for most Christians to start complaining or to start being like, what happened, God? Why am I going through this?
Why did you let this happen?
Why did you let this happen? You're so powerful. Why are you letting this happen to me? But in James, it says to consider it pure joy.
Mm-mm.
How do you consider it pure joy? And the only way is to make that switch from whatever the world has into walking in love. And to walk in love is to be completely selfless. Yeah, the motive now is to bring glory to Him and manifest Him.
Mm.
And when you go through a trial, it's an opportunity now to manifest Him.
Mm-mm.
And that's a way to consider it pure joy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're right. I think most believers only see God as a resource.
Mm.
When I'm in need, and there's a different, like you've shared, love and need, and see that's how the world is, right? The world only love because they are in need.
Yeah.
So we can also bring that into our relationship with God.
Yeah.
I only come to you in prayer, or I only look at the Word if I'm in need of an answer, or if I'm in need of help so I can share the Word.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's not, there's no real love there.
Mm.
Real love is like real love is able to real love is patient. Real love is always love that gives. It's not looking for other person to give you something in return to what you gave them. You don't see them as, I will keep this relationship as long as this person has something to give me.
Mm.
Right? As long as they can satisfy my need, then I'll stay in this relationship. And the moment that person is not able to give what I need, then forget it, no relationship. And that's why we must remember relationship with God is covenant with God.
Mm.
And covenant is stronger than any other relationship. Like, it's the covenant that we have with God is, you know, he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Mm.
And I think He's more pleased if we come to Him in a relationship that because we love Him, not because we need Him for healing, we need Him for financial provision, we need all that is good. All that is good. And it's all part of His promise to us when we enter into that relationship with Him as a father. But imagine if I'm a mom and my children only remember me or know me or, you know, honor me because they wanted something from me.
Yeah.
That's very sad, right? But if my relationship with my children is not based on what I can give them, but because they obey me because they love me, that's different, right? So the same with God. He's not looking for us to just come to Him when we need Him, or we come to Him for the, again, it's like, it's all about us. It's all about what I can take, what I can receive, but it's nothing to do with, I love you. Even if I feel that I'm too, like, I'm too far from you, even if I feel like I'm walking in the desert now, that love will not change. And when you're established in that, nothing can really shake you.
Yeah.
Nothing can really, and all your purpose now is, like you said, is to just glorify Him. And so same thing, we can apply that also in our relationship with people. Because with people, same thing, if they see you only as a resource, if they only come to you or acknowledge you or compliment you because you've done something good to them, then you don't get hurt because you know now and understand now that this is how God's love is. If they see me as their only resource, did God ever tell you that, hey, Jello, I don't like you now because you're only coming to me whenever you need me? No, he never forsaken you, he never left you, even when you're in doubt of about Him, when you're afraid or when you're in fear. He's not pleased with that, but His love remains, right? So there will be consequences when we turn our back from Him, when we are, you know, when we don't really love Him the way we should be loving Him. But like a parent, we cannot throw out our children. We cannot say, we cannot break that relationship with our children just because they didn't obey us.
Yeah.
They are our children, especially with mom. They came from, you know, my children came from me. So regardless of what they do, even if they rebel, they went their own way. And one day, this prodigal son, they decided to come back and repent. And even if they don't repent, I see them on the street and still realize that's my child. I will accept them. And that's the love of God. That's the love of God. So, yeah, this different love and need. And you're right. I think that's the reason why people doesn't really, because when you appreciate the love of God, it's not hard to praise Him.
Yeah.
It's not hard to be thankful. And it's not hard to serve Him, because it's just, you know, it's not religious. It's no longer a religious duty.
Yeah.
It's no longer a religious duty to open the Word, read the Bible. You're not even, you don't feel condemned if you miss the Bible tomorrow, yesterday, if you don't read the Bible yesterday. And how many people are condemned? Because they didn't pray enough, good enough. They didn't pray long enough. Yeah. Or they didn't go to the Bible study or prayer meeting. They condemn because they don't have that love relationship with God. When you understand the love of God, you're confident. You're confident. You don't walk in fear. You don't walk in like, does He love me? Maybe God doesn't love me anymore. So we never base the love of God, never take the love of God based on how we experience love from other people. Because God is different. His love is different than the love of people.
Can you talk more about that? Once you have the love of God, you become more confident. So the verse that comes to mind is, perfect love casts out all fear.
All fear.
So how do you walk in that?
Yeah, okay. So that's like a lot of... can lead to another subject, but yeah, I always believe when the Bible says that when you unite with Christ, you are one, right? So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love, yeah. So and love does not have fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Why did the Bible say perfect love? He could just put there love. Why perfect? Because there are imperfect love. There is an imperfect love, right? And what is imperfect love? Love that depends on another human being to give back. But the perfect love of God, which casts out all fear, does not demand from that person to give back. So you are in that position, as me, like I received the love of God, not because I did something good. So he loved me even while I am a bad person, while I'm not that in that place of belief or faith yet, right? I don't believe in him, but he loved me. So that gives me confidence that when he loved me at that stage of my life, how much more now that I am in his will, right? So though the degree of his love doesn't change from like he loved me 100% before, now he loved me 110%. No, his love is constant. It doesn't change. Like God doesn't change. He's remained the same. So, but if he loved me then, when I was yet sinner, how much more he loved me now that I am his child? So what? Why would I allow fear then to rule my life? I mean, that gives me confidence. My dad, my father is proud of me. He loves me, right? So he's happy about me. So, and if there's something that, and that's why the Holy Spirit brings conviction to us, so we know when we do something that grieves the Holy Spirit. And I've done that. Like, as a pastor, there's always gonna be like opportunities there to be upset, to be frustrated, to be discouraged with people, right? And there's a lot, and I'll be honest, yeah. So anyway, but when the love of God, Paul says, the love of God compels me. Push him, right? Push him to love. Push him to put aside how he feels, put aside his pride, put aside his self-esteem, or, you know, how he thinks, I'm a teacher of the law, why you treat me like this? You know, I'm well-known, why do you talk to me like this? Who are you? You know, I'm the pastor, why you're behaving like this to me? Right? So that's pride. But he said the love of God. That's why love of God covers all wrongdoing.
Yeah.
So it's like you cannot really comprehend, but that gives me confidence because it's like no matter, and I'm not saying it's giving me license to sin, but even when I fall, I know God loves me. And I have confidence to come back to him like the prodigal son, right? Why would he come back to his father? He knows the father. He knows the father. Yeah. Although at first he doubted the father, but then he realized, no, if my father was so kind enough for his servants to provide for them, why would he not provide for his son? I am his son. So that's the confidence he went back to his father. Even in his mind, I'm just going to be a servant. You know, so to me, gives me confidence. Even like people receive or not, reject me or not, they did that to Jesus. So,
Like because the one most high already loves me, it's like it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter
what anyone else.
And
does.
Remember when Jesus comes in, like when Jesus comes inside of us, he made us complete. He made us complete. So the purpose of us is to be completed by Jesus Christ, not to be completed by someone else. Right, Larry, I love Larry, he's my husband, but he doesn't really complete everything of me because I'm a spirit, soul, and body. So he might be able to complete me in the soul and body area, but not in the spirit. He helped me in my spiritual walk, but he cannot complete me in my spirit because no man can complete me in my spirit. And the spirit that needs to be, that's the number one that you need to be, you know, looking after. Make sure that you are made complete in your spirit, because that's why he wants us to be connected with him, right? Yeah.
All right, so just the last question. So what is an attitude that you had to give up when you, in your walk with Jesus?
A lot.
What is one biggest one?
There's a lot. I think one is pride. Pride, yeah, because you can be in that position where you think you know everything, or you're better than other person, or why should I struggle, you know, loving you if you don't even recognize that I'm loving you, right? And that's a challenge because like, it's like there would be a time like you feel like you're always giving, and you run out of giving, and yet people are still not appreciating. Yeah, so that appreciation thing. That's when God said to me, because you're doing it on your own, the resources is limited. Yeah, so your resources are limited. Remember, your resources are limited. Your love is limited. But when you are giving because you love them, because I love them, not because you love them, because you cannot love them. You cannot love them, and that's true. I cannot love them without God. Yeah, I might respond to the love as a parent, as a friend, as you know, I have friends that I kept for years, but I have friends also that I don't talk to now because they're far, not because I don't love them. Or there were times where I say, oh, that's it, I'm giving up with this person, but then the Holy Spirit, no, because God never give up. So, you know, you say those words, but when you see that person, the love of God compels you and say, oh, yes, I can forgive. So I think one is pride and impatient, patience. That's why it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You need to exercise more of those fruit and manifest it.
Yeah.
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 Challenging, but praise God, Holy Spirit is there.
So mine is also pride, and then with the something that God showed recently was in regards to initiative. So I would wait for people to come to me instead of I go to them. And then God showed me that's not the way we roll. that's not the way we operate. You know, Jesus left the 99 for the one. And then before we even knew him, he loved us. And then he sent his son. While I was yet a sinner, he loved us. And then it was a bit hard to give up because it was a stronghold now in hindsight. But the stronghold was, these people don't deserve me to constantly put myself out there for them. They need to come to me now, you know? I have to wait for them. Instead of, it's like what you said about I'm always giving, but when am I going to receive? And then I was in that area where I was just after. I've been giving and giving and giving. Now, when am I going to receive?
Yeah.
And now I'm not going to give until I receive again. And that's when God was like, that's not how we do it. Like with people that God puts on my heart, I feel that they should come to me now. I've already done what
yeah,
I think
I've done my part.
I've done my part.
They should be doing it their
and
part.
And then now God said, no, you don't give up on them.
Yeah, yeah. And you cannot love without giving yourself. And love, I remember a friend of mine said love is taking a risk. Like you risk it because you don't know how the other person will respond to the love that you want to give them. And there are people that they don't respond the way you want them to respond.
Is God's love a feeling?
No, I don't think so. But there's an emotion involved there too. But love is more like it comes from the Spirit. Like it's hard to... Yeah, like I said, sometimes I just make that final decision. I'm not gonna talk to that person anymore. That's it, right? But then you see that person, then you start talking to that person, or you're giving them another opportunity, and you wonder, why would I do that? Like just like yesterday, my brother said, I thought you're not giving to this person anymore because you feel that, you know, she's just asking you for more money. And I said, when he said that to me, I realized, did I say that? You know, but because I was just telling him how I'm going to send this person money again. And he said, I thought you told me blah, blah. And I said, did I say that? And then I realized, yeah, you're right. But this time I had that compassion because I'm praying for compassion. And I said, Lord, open my eyes and help me to be compassionate as Jesus is compassionate. Because with Jesus, you don't see him hesitating. He's not thinking about, what did this person do to me? Or how did these people appreciate me last time? You know, he's not thinking about that. All he does is to ex- ex- to show and demonstrate the love of the Father to these people, whoever comes to Him, right? Even those people that at first they don't believe in Him, but still He ministered to them. So He doesn't choose the people, of course, based on the other people's faith as well, the miracles manifested, but He doesn't choose the people He helped, or He didn't choose the people He healed. Mm. Everyone to Him is because of His compassion. So I think that's where we should be, like the spirit of compassion. Mm. But it's challenging when you're in the ministry, give yourself to people. Mm. That's one of the things that, especially if you're an introvert person, mm-hmm. like you don't want to be always around people. Mm. But you have to, that's another challenge, like you have to get out of that shell, like get out of that mentality that I cannot talk to people. How would I start conversation with people? And there's other things as well, because of past experiences, you're afraid to go into another type of relationship with people, like friendship, and because you've been betrayed by someone else before, you got hurt before. But those are the things that you learn more on, to be more wiser, to be more, you learn more. Those things happen because I believe, that's my personal belief, that those things happen to us because God still wants us to learn and experience those type of situation where we can experience more of His love. And He said, He's not going to let that unless we rely on His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So reliance on the Spirit, not reliance on our ability to love, but reliance on the Spirit. Lord, help me to love this person.
Yeah.
Not based on how I can love them, but based on how You want me to love them.
Yeah. And that's He says that's the easy yoke and light burden. Light. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good place to end. And Pastor Chris, can you pray for the people?
Yeah, listening? Sure. Amen. Praise God. So as we share this short talk about the love of God, loving people, I pray that today, the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart and you would open your heart to the Holy Spirit, because we all experience the love of God. And like I said, the love of God is different from the love that the world understands. But it's possible for us to love the way Jesus loved us. And it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's always going to be an everyday experience with the Holy Spirit. As long as we allow the Holy Spirit to move into our heart and fill us with the same love that Jesus Christ has given us, the compassion of Jesus for people, that whenever we see people, we see them in the eyes of Jesus, regardless of how they treat us, regardless of how they think about us. That love of God, agape love of God, overcomes that, overlook all that.
Yes.
So I pray today that you will open your heart to God and help you to love the way Jesus loves us. Okay, so I know, like I had experience where I get hurt, I get betrayed, but all of that, I would say, because of the love of God, I was able to overcome. And one of the things that I believe is I can never effectively minister to people if I don't have a genuine love for people. And I can only have genuine love for people if I have the love of God inside of me. So I want to pray for you today and open your heart to God. If you're struggling with loving God and loving people, let me tell you, it's possible. You can love God and you can love people. So let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for every single person that will listen to this podcast, in Jesus' name. Lord, there is no distance in the Spirit wherever they are. Whatever experience they had in the past, oh Lord, You are able to wash it with the blood of Jesus. And today, Father God, I just ask You, Lord, that You wash all the hurt, all the unforgiveness, all the past experiences that they had that has stopped them, Father God, from believing that they can love and from believing that they can receive Your love, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that this hurt, all these offenses, whatever it is, oh Lord, that stopped them from receiving the love of God into their heart, by the Holy Spirit and from expressing and demonstrating that love to other people. Lord, be washed away right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that they be filled with the love of God right now, that they experience the same love, oh Lord, that we have experienced, Lord, when we receive you as our personal Lord and Savior. And Father, it doesn't happen overnight, but I know that when we make a decision that we want to love the way Jesus loved, it will happen and it's possible. And today, Lord, I just pray for those that are willing to experience this love of God in a greater way, in the same way that Jesus loves us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we can love people regardless of how they treat us, regardless of how they see us, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for this podcast. We thank you, Lord, for souls, oh Lord God, that are being blessed and ministered, oh Lord God, by the sharing, by the word that we shared here in Jesus' name. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
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 All right. Thank you guys for listening, and be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, every Sunday morning AEST, 10 a.m. AEST, we have a live stream. Go watch that. And see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.